Hey, g'day everyone, and welcome back to the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast. Before we get into anything on this show, both of us right now just want to say thank you very much. The fact that you've clicked on another not the best week for our club. It's back-to-back weeks where we have lost in both the NRL and NRLW. Another tough season in the NRL. Hasn't gone as planned. So the fact you're still here supporting the Frontline Podcast, supporting us, really does mean the world. And with that, let me welcome in my co-host, as always, Blaze from BKR Sport. My man, great week away from the 80 minutes of rugby league in Wollongong together, but disappointing for 4-300 nonetheless. How you going, man?
Look, I'm looking forward to the end of the season. I'm not going to lie to you, man. Like, as everyone here knows, I go to every single game home and away. So we've still got two away trips. And this part of the year, so when you, like, to help people understand, when you go through 24 rounds and you get to that last little stage and you know you've got no chance of continuing into the finals, you know you've got no chance progressing, it does really become a slog for these last three games. Not so much the home game here against the Roosters for our members round and whatnot. That's enjoyable, obviously, because it's at home. But then to know I'm going to go to Newcastle next week and to know I'm going to go to Penrith in 3 weeks is just a bit of a slog. So really trying to get myself over that hump and get myself fired up for the back end of the year. But look, it is obviously tiring. And, last year we had the women's team to keep our happiness up and to keep us going. But even now with the women's team, they're struggling. They really are struggling. So, yeah, look, it's not been the greatest so far. Obviously, the women's team can still absolutely turn it around. They're just outside of the finals right now. There's still like 6 rounds to go. So, but we've got some tough games coming up. So, yeah, look, we're going to run. Obviously, the traveling aspect is always good fun, going for a swim down at like 7 a.m. in Wollongong was beautiful, seeing the dolphins going through the waves and whatnot. And yeah, look, overall, it's all good. Just not the 80 minutes of football, as you said.
Mate, it was great. I mean, I can't speak for yourself, but I was up bright and early at 6 a.m. for, no alarm required.
Okay, so for context on what he's talking about, if you guys follow me on Instagram on BKR Sport, you would know this. But on the Sunday, yeah, it was on the day of the game, at 6 a.m., the alarm went off in the entire hotel. So I was staying at Hotel Toto or something like that. And at 6 a.m., like on the dot, there was a full-blown evacuation alarm. And I thought I was back in like a college dorm. I woke up, I was like, what happened here? I'm on an away trip trying to enjoy myself. And I have to get up at 6 a.m. And everyone's leaving the building. Everyone's like, Elvis was in town, like it was crazy to see. And it was, I don't know, we didn't find out the reason why, but it woke me up for the day. So it gave me a good early start. Decided to go for a walk down to the beach and then obviously met up with Dane and went for a swim. But geez, what a ridiculous start of the day. That should have told me everything right there. In regards to what was going to happen in the day of the game.
Well, mate, you left out one bit of crucial information from that story, and that's the part where you called me and woke me up at 6 a.m. And I was half asleep, but I specifically remember words to the effect of, well, my alarm went off and the building alarm went off. I'm up, so you should be up too.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. It's not just a me thing, Stop being so selfish.
Mate, big shout out. That's what you call bringing the front line along for the journey. Exactly, and I appreciate right. it. All righty, guys, and some housekeeping points. If you are new around here, the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast is your weekly dose of absolutely everything Titans. We really try to capture everything just in the one spot for you, so you spend your hour and get fully caught up on absolutely everything you need to Titans related. To that effect, if you are new here or enjoying the podcast, please consider subscribing and liking on YouTube or following and leaving a 5-star review wherever you enjoy your podcasts. All of it helps us grow the front line, which is important for our club. And if you do want to win tickets to upcoming Titans games, please follow the front line on Instagram or join our Facebook group. That is where you'll see ticket giveaways, and Blaze has given up to 20 tickets away at times this year. So it's definitely the best place to do it. Titans news segment, mate. Most of these are more just nice to know, so I'll breeze over them, but jump in if you have anything extra.
Hey, look, we want something nice to know right now, man. Please give us something nice to know.
We do. Jamie Chapman has been nominated for the 2024 Veronica White Medal, which is the Women of Year, Women of the Year rather award, which is presented by Westpac, and it recognises the contributions of an NRLW player more off the field in their local community. So Chapo's always out at clinics and local schools.
That was nice to know.
Yes, it was more than nice to know. So Chapo's a legend. And if you do want to vote for her, just jump on the NRL website or Google 2024 Veronica White Medal, and you can vote for Chapo there. My only issue with these awards, Blaze, and they do the same in the men's game, is it turns into a popularity contest where, like, whoever convinces their fans to go and vote the most wins. Like, I'm sure people aren't genuinely looking at the Veronica White medal list and weighing up who they thought had the greater contribution off the field when voting. They're just voting for their players, and I literally just told us
to do it. Actually necessarily know the in-depth and the details of the reason why these people have been selected for it, right? So, of course, like, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to jump on and I'm going to vote for Jamie Chapman. You know, that's what I want to do, and that's what most people, part of our community, will do. And you're right, it does turn into a bit of a popularity contest, but, you know, that's kind of just unfortunately how it goes.
That was one thing I loved about the Titans 2023 review. They did like a magazine last year. You could download online in the form of a PDF, and it had all the community work, schools we reached, clinics, kids programs, and just seeing all the numbers and the impact we had outside of footy was really cool as well. To that effect, and this also sums up how awesome our club is, it is members thank you round on the Gold Coast this week. The Titans are going to go all out. They've already given out over 1,200 free tickets. Plenty of reasons to get down to Cbus this Sunday when we take on the Roosters.
Mate, that's Keanu nice to Kinney, know.
Another nice to know. This one is a very nice to know. Keanu Kinney, he breaks his own record. So he had the most meters run in an individual game by a Titan at 321 meters. He has now gone and ran 344 last round against the Dragons. The NRL record is 370 held by Clint Gutherson. So, you know, if Kinney had one more line break, I reckon he gets that record, to be honest.
It's great, quite funny, right? Because at the game, I remember everyone was saying, like, he's going to hit 400. He's going to hit 400. Everyone kept throwing around this 400 number. And, like, it's close, but it wasn't close. So I don't know how the number 400 was getting thrown around. But, yeah, fantastic performance there by Gunner. We'll get into in a second. And very nice to know.
So I actually do know where that number came from. When the game finished directly after, he was on 402 meters. So the NRL statisticians went back and took some off him. So they do it live, but then they do a recount afterwards as well. Because I get this on all my stats posts, mate. People come back the next morning and go, "Well, yeah, 200 meters. You've run this at 150. And it's like, "Yeah, mate, look at the timestamp." So that's how I know that occurred there.
I love, Karen, you know what I love? When, like, content creators and just people in general, like, they're making fun of someone commenting on their post, and just the voice,
it's never a kind voice. Yeah, the person could have been genuinely the nicest person in the world, and I just did that to them. Karen Murphy, our NRLW coach, inducted into the NRL Hall of Fame, absolutely deserved, a pioneer of the women's game. You know, Karen Murphy was playing professional rugby league, representing Australia and playing all sorts of tournaments in the day where women had to take leave from their work and it was literally unpaid, meaning she lost money to represent her country at the most elite level there was at the time. Like, that's just, that sacrifice is incredible. So really, really happy Karen Murphy was recognized there and absolutely deserved.
Yeah, Karen Murphy is absolutely amazing. Sorry, I thought you were finishing up there. Karen Murphy is an amazing woman. She's done such a great job for our club specifically and also the game of rugby league for the NRLW. She set the platform for it in the early days and has been a huge... obviously, she's not been a part of the NRLW playing, but like the pre to set the platform for that competition to brought in. So, yeah, she obviously also won the Coach of the Year last year in the NRLW. And although it hasn't exactly gone to plan so far in 2024, there's still plenty of time to change it around. And, she's always lovely to speak to and really happy for her. And it's very nice to know.
It's cool as well that the Clive Churchill medal equivalent in the women's game. So the grand final MVP is named in her honour as well. It's just a shame she didn't get to hand it out to a Titans girl last year. That honestly probably would have made me cry. That would have been incredible.
Well, I'm waiting for I'm waiting to hear what they call the Dally M, because obviously Dally M is still named the same thing for the women's game as it is in the men's game. And everyone, if you don't know, Dally M represents Dally Messenger. It was a great player back in the day, about 100 years ago. So obviously the women's game hasn't necessarily been around for long enough in the NRLW. Like the initiators of the NRLW are still pretty much playing at the competition right now. So like Tamika Upton and Millie Ball and all that sort of stuff, Millie Elliott, sorry. All these like players are playing now still. So you can't take anyone from here. We've already got Karen Murphy as the Clive Churchill, and also Tasha Gale also received like the whole competition for the Harvey Norman. But I don't know what you could call for the Dally M. I know they're still going Dally M, but I don't know what you could do separately.
Yeah, and Veronica White would probably be third on that list, but she has the community award named in her honour. So yeah, it's an interesting one. But I think they'll change it eventually. It'll just be a thing in the future.
Bit of bad news here. Medal. That's what we'll do. We'll call it Loz Brown.
Now that is a medal that I can get around, absolutely. Look, mate, this is a bit of unfortunate news. I think it's true. It's not confirmed, but it has been reported by the Daily Telegraph and Stuff New Zealand. That's a newspaper over there. Aaron Clark has reportedly been released from the final year of his contract with the Titans, meaning he'll join the Warriors from next season onwards. So I want to ask, what sort of hole do you think this creates in our side? And when you look at our current depth, given he's been a mainstay on our bench for so long, who do you think steps up and replaces him from next season onwards?
I've loved the growth of Ez over the last few years. You know, Aaron Clark is a guy that has gone from a good player to someone who we've actually quite needed, and has been a real intense player, and has been our Warrior Hargraves, or being our Nelson Asafa Solomona, who will go in, throw their body at the line, and if you've got to get into Nicho Hynes, then you'll get into Nicho Hynes, which is what Ez did a couple of weeks ago at the Sharks in Coffs Harbour. So it's really disappointing to unfortunately see him leave. I completely understand his decision-making. Like, nothing could ever make me hate Ez. I love that man. He is a beautiful soul, really rips and tears in his club. And it makes sense as well. I think his mum is going from the Gold Coast netball team across New Zealand, going back to Auckland to, I think, do some netball stuff there in Tamapara. And I would assume that means that Ez is more than likely want to go back with his family to where he is originally from. And, you know, when we were over there in New Zealand, I feel like we spoke about something, how he was, you know, enjoying being home and whatnot. So, yeah, look, it's really unfortunate. I think as well, you've got to really consider the fact that next year, one, Desi really wants to start implementing his own team, even though Ez has been one of our better this year. He wants to start implementing his own team and not just Justin's. So you've got Tino, who will come back straight into that 8 role. You've got either Jimmy Jolliffe or Mo going into the 10. Let's assume for the time being Mo goes 10 and Jimmy Jolliffe goes into the 15. Then you've got another back rower, but then also there's one extra front row spot that you're more than likely looking at, and that's between probably Josie Pahulu or Kina Palacia or Aaron Clark. And I feel like Josie Pahulu is probably going to be the one that wins out that battle based on the age factor, and because, yeah, maybe that's what Desi's kind of looking at. So that's what I can possibly think of. Again, I don't know that. Desi hasn't told me that. Desi hasn't told anybody that. But that's the only kind of thought process I can see in regards to the club being like, okay, you know what? Although you've been great, we do have Josiah Pahulu here who will take over afterwards.
Yeah, and I feel the same way in that regard, where I think this is a fantastic signing for the Warriors. When you look at the fact they've decided to move Jazz Tavangaron, who is primarily a lock but can play prop and hooker, Ez fills those exact same positions, right? And I think he does a much better job than Jazz. He's younger than Jazz. So from the Warriors' perspective, fantastic signing. You're bringing a player back home. I think he'll have a great year for the Warriors next year. But from a Titans perspective, how much does it suck to lose Ez? I actually think we'll be fine. Like, I know he's a fantastic player. I know he brings it off the bench and just brings that enthusiasm to everything he does on the field. And, you know, you mentioned him going at Nicho, but he also goes at the likes of, like, Jared Rhea Hargraves. So he'll go after anyone. He doesn't care what position you play.
I was just referring to the most recent one.
Yeah, and I'm just adding to that, man, that, like, you know, he will go after anyone. He's a dog on the field. But you think Isaac Liu probably won't be re-signed, and Aaron Clark now gone as well. So that is two forwards that would be off our
just
bench.
Just to confirm for everybody listening, he's not confirmed gone yet, but this is just news that has kind of been circling, so we're talking about it, just so you don't know. It's not official, so don't freak out just yet, but this is just like, if it does happen, which is likely, this is what we're talking about.
100%, man. And then you think, like, so Tino takes back one of those spots, right? no questions asked. And then that means the final spot there, you've got Keenan Pulisea, Jacob Ehrlich-Winke, Jozy Pahulu, as you said, like we've got options there. So yes, I think in a perfect world, Ez does still fit into our best 17 next year. I would love to still have him in our side, but I think we are equipped with the depth to cover it at the same time. So if Aaron does go, I also agree with you. I understand his decision. You can't hate a man for wanting to return home. Alrighty, that is all of our Titans news, guys. So we'll move on to our NRLW and NRL recaps. Unfortunately, not the best results, but we do have to discuss them and break them down for you. Nonetheless, I'll start us off with NRLW. So that's two losses in a row now. The Cowboys defeat us in Townsville, 11 points to 10. And I want to start on 2 points here, Blaze. Number one, a crowd of 1,400. That's really bad by Townsville. Like,
I was pathetic, yeah.
Yeah, that's pathetic. Like, you got to get out and support your team. Whether it's a doubleheader or not, doesn't matter. You got to be there supporting your team. That's disgraceful by the Cowboys there. And I can tell you, if we only had 1,400 at Cbus, I'd say the same thing. I'd say we've let our team down. So really bad there. Number two, yes, back-to-back losses obviously really hurt, but it is important to note the Knights, who were premiership favourites this year, have also experienced the same. They've now lost to the, is it Sharks and Dragons in back-to-back games?
Yeah.
I believe, other way around, rather, Dragons and Sharks. So I guess I want to say, you know, the Roosters, they've also lost this year. So it is a little bit more of a closer competition, but it is still unfortunate to be losing two in a row. On to this game specifically, really horrible. And it's interesting, right? Because when you break down a one-point loss, your reaction can be so different. Like if you were the underdog and you lose by 1 point, you're like, ah, you know, damn it, we were so close. There's still positives to take. But the reality is we shouldn't be losing to the Cowboys under any circumstances, in my opinion. So I want to start with the completion rate of 72%. Not good enough. You know, when we won our opening two games, the completion rate was up above 80%. Now, we completed 26 of a possible 36 sets in this game. Now, I'm not calling... I'm trying to think... You can probably see the notes.
You have you have to do it. You have to say it. Like,
yeah, I'm just trying to think...
Basically, he's a little bit nervous of how to bring up the Jamie Chapman. She made a few errors in the game. But with that being said, she is a professional of the game. We do support her every single week. We still love her. We still support her. We still know that she can be the best player in the game. But also, the critique does need to come, especially in regards to this.
100%, man. So we didn't complete 10 possible sets. We could have completed 10 more. But seven of those were directly from Jamie Chapman, who finished the game with seven errors. So you take that out, that's only three sets we didn't complete. That is right up there around that 85% mark where we want to be, which is just unfortunate because Jamie Chapman is usually one of, if not our best player. Seven individual errors from what I could find is the second most of all time in NRLW history. So I want to take a silver lining from that and say our best player had the worst game they've ever had and we still only just lost. Maybe I'm being too optimistic, but when you look at the stats here, we ran more meters, we broke more tackles, and we gave ourselves a chance, I thought. Like, we were in this contest. But the polish and execution was just missing from this one. There was a nice early try to Georgia Gray. That was the first of her NRLW career, so well done there. But then for the next 40 minutes, it looked really disjointed again. And our second try just came from a simple 1-on-1 barge over by Laika Clark, so there was no team involvement there. So I will say again, another silver lining is some brilliant individual performances in this game. But just as a team, we didn't click. And I think that was the issue there. I thought if we clicked a little bit more as a team, we would have beaten the Cowboys, even with that completion rate. But it, for whatever reason, mate, it just didn't work out. Slightly concerning because the bulk of our squad from last year does remain the same, minus Stephanie Hancock. So there's a few positives to take from it, mate. But I think the final takeaway is we need to improve. We need to improve fast because of the shorter length of an NRLW season. We can't afford to keep performing like this, mate. How did you see this one when you broke it down? I know we were both traveling in between flights, but we did manage to get through the 70 minutes nonetheless.
Yeah, this one was really, really frustrating to watch because there was just... Like, I'm not saying the girls didn't try. They absolutely try. I know these women. They are, you know, they do definitely care. But unfortunately, it just didn't translate onto the TV. It didn't look like that on the TV that they had the emphasis to need to win this game. Because Just a little update here in regards to the games that we are about to partake in. These first four rounds, as we spoke about preseason, were the rounds we need to capitalize on, because our draw from here on out, we take on the Roosters this week. We take on the Sharks, the Eels, then the Knights and the Raiders, right? So the Roosters are in second. The Sharks are in first. The Eels are rejuvenated in third, but haven't really beaten anybody yet. The Knights are in fifth, but are the back-to-back premiership winning team. And the Raiders actually haven't been, I don't know how they're in eighth, because they actually haven't been that bad, the Raiders, but apparently they're in eighth, which is actually quite crazy to me. So I guess, well, they lost they've had a tough run. They beat the Tigers, but they lost the Knights, the Sharks, and also the Broncos. But look, I was really disappointed because, yeah, unfortunately, Chabot didn't have one of her best games, but that is what it is. Unfortunately, it just wasn't her game. You know, it doesn't mean that we think that she's a bad player. Absolutely not. She's one of the best players in the entire competition. And that's outlined beforehand. That'll be outlined afterwards. But sometimes you can just have those games. She was pushing the path a little bit too much. And something that a lot of men's teams have a problem with that you see is teams are always trying to score every single play. They're trying to score every single set. And this is what the Titans felt like they were doing in this game, where they felt like they were, I feel like they're going into these games thinking they're favorites and knowing they're favorites. When, yes, you're right, and yes, you're correct, but we as fans can think that. You as players are not meant to be thinking that. You can be confident, but don't go in saying, you know what, we're going to win this game. It is guaranteed we're going to win this game. Whilst as fans, we have no actual direct impact on the result besides getting there and cheering. So it does feel like from a transition from the game to the TV to the fan, it does seem like we are already kind of believing in the hype preseason, which is what our men's team has done for many, many, many years. So that was, and we've seen a lot of unfortunate posts in Titans fan groups and whatnot saying like, oh, you know, don't have the women's train around the men's team, don't have them train them on the field because, you know, of our history in the men's game. And, you know, it's hard to argue with it right as we currently speak, but I do still have belief that we can absolutely turn this season around. I will say in regards to this game that could have been a little bit of a hamper is that Talia Fuimaono was moved into the centres. So she was obviously in the 5-8. She hasn't been having a great season so far in her opening three games. She got pushed to the centres for a debutante in Leilani Montgomery, who I actually didn't think was that bad. I didn't think Leilani Montgomery was too bad overall. I didn't think Lauren Brown had her best game by any means. I don't know. I just, overall, it was just a bit of a schmozzle in regards to kind of anything in this game. You know, it just, there's nothing that you can really look at and go, this was, there was not many positives. The only positives I can take out of it is that we lost by 1 point. But you go and have a look at the team stats, we lost the possession by 49% to 51%. So pretty much the same possession. But we won in a majority of stats. We had more runs, more run meters, more post-contact meters, didn't have more line breaks, but a lot. We had 16 more tackle breaks than them. 16 more tackle breaks than them. We had 37 of their 21. But yet they're obviously having the average set distance of 45, 46 meters to our 44 and a half. And then we'll kick return meters of 77 to 40. So offloads, another one, 10 offloads to 3. So we crushed them in tackle breaks. We crushed them in offloads. Geez, they threw a lot of dummy passes, that's for sure. But overall, like we, defensive effective tackle percentage, we had 91.64% to their 80.59%. The stats show realistic. Actually, and this is another one. Yeah, again, 37 missed tackles to 21. That's crazy that we lose this game 11 to 10 to the team who came like second last year. The Cowboys are a weird team. They are an okay team. They're nothing spectacular, and we definitely should have won this game. But there are stats there that you can look at and say, okay, there are a few positives. It was good to see, you know, George Gregory at debut try and whatnot. But I do think that hopefully this week, with a, you know, with a more rejuvenated mindset, you know, will be very integral to getting back into the winner's circle. Because again, we have a really tough team that we are coming up against this week. Despite their injuries, it's a really, really tough matchup we've got against the Roosters. So yeah, look, we lost the Broncos, whatever. We lose the Cowboys, that one hurts. We can't lose this game. We must win this game against the Roosters. Otherwise, this season's fallen apart. This season will fall apart. We are at home. I will be on the drums. We will be getting loud. We'll be getting crazy. It'll be you know, a packed out amount of people there for our Titans women's team that does have a lot of still high hopes. You must win that game, because I'm telling you, this last 2 weeks has been a shambles.
Yeah, we really can't afford to lose three in a row. We spoke about it in the preview saying, look, last year we lost two in a row and that's what flicked the switch. Maybe we require that again. We hope not. But as soon as you start losing three in a row, that's when it's like, okay.
But that was the Knights and the Roosters last year. Like, that was to first and second place we lost to last year. The Broncos and the Cowboys, losing to those two teams back-to-back is a little bit of a different story. So I get what you're saying, but also the sizable difference is that the Knights were the team that went on to win the competition that year and also won the competition the year before. And the Roosters were the team that we had to play in the semi-final and also, you know, have been since the inception, have been one of the top teams forever. So very, very different stories between those comparisons. But I get what you're trying to get at.
And I loved your breakdown, how you said it. We rocked up with a mentality where we knew we were expected to win. And I actually think that's why we were pushing the pass, because it's like, hey, we're the grand finals from last year. The Cowboys aren't that good. The score should be 20-0 right now. Let's force the pass. Let's try to get some points on the board. Whereas I just think if we were more patient with our attack, worked on that higher completion rate, which made us successful last year and in the first two games, we would have ran over the top of them in those tough Townsville conditions. Instead, ironically, we've shown our class by hanging in there with how far we were from our best, but it's not good enough. That's a game where we should have been winning, and in a 10-round season, you've got to be winning. But to finish our NRLW recap on a high note, congratulations to Montgomery on her NRLW debut from all of the front line. Yeah, she was awesome. And I dare say if Niall Williams-Guthrie wasn't back this round, we would have seen her in our 17 again. So she cemented herself as our first choice depth option across the back line, and that's awesome for her. All righty, mate, let's park the NRLW recap there and move on to the NRL recap. Unfortunately for yourself and for our listeners, we know it doesn't get any easier of a listen here. The Dragons defeat us.
Gets harder.
32 points to 16. And I just think at the moment, mate, we look really flat. I go back to your words to the effect of our grand final being the Broncos game. Since that point, we have really fallen away from everything that made us so great in that second half. The effort plays, it's all gone from our game at the moment. We look tired. We look frustrated out there. It looks like we need a break, but we've got to keep kicking on, man. There's still a season to be had. I'll let you start us with this one because I went first for NRLW. Break it down for me, mate. How'd you see this one from the ground?
Yeah, thank you very much for letting me start with this one, man. I'm really excited to talk about it. Down there at the Gong, beautiful stadium, Wind Stadium, love it there. Very, very windy, though, which will kind of pre-surface what I'm about to say, because the wind definitely impacted the entirety of the game. And it meant that, and I said this to Foz afterwards, I spoke to Kieran after the game, I said, whoever, you know, was running the Dragons way for first half, we obviously ran that way second half. But it was running that way first half was going to win the game, because you could set up that lead and then the other team would have to chase it down because that wind was strong. It was quite violent, to be completely honest with you, which is what really messed up any kind of composure that our team could have had. And the Dragons are obviously used to that. You know, they know Wollongong. They know how their stadium is. That is their home ground and it's right on the beach. And their kickers will exactly know how the wind's going to go. And that's why you saw that second try. The second try for the Dragons was possibly the unluckiest try that I've ever seen in my life that went to them. But I bet you they knew exactly that was going to happen. I bet you they knew the wind would suffer. If you, like, I know you were kind of looking after your daughter, but I don't know if you know, sis, I think it was stop exactly at the 37 to 35 is where that ball would stop, regardless of how far or how hard they kicked it. It would stop at the 37 to 35 on that side of the field and it would just go bang straight down. And you could tell the boys weren't ready for that. They didn't know that. They didn't understand that. And then it bounced, unfortunately, for Luciano Leilua. Yeah, that's the one. Yep. He broke away and then ended up scoring, right? So, and it's unfortunate because that was a big part of the game. That's not an excuse, by the way, because I'm telling you right now, we're not good enough to win this game. I'm just giving a little bit more of a backstory for people who are at home who might not understand how strong and how difficult that wind was to read. Now, I thought we actually started off this game brilliantly. Keanu Kenny, with that breakaway try to Jojo Fifita in that first minute with our first touch of the ball, you know, I had trademark sports, a Dragons grader, you know, come and say, like, we thought we were going to get up to slap. And I thought that we were going to go on with a big win there to bounce back from that Sharks game and just say, you know what, that's in the past. We're going to fire up here and we're going to give ourselves every bit of an opportunity. Because out of our last four games, that and the Newcastle games are the easier opponents. And that's just a fact. That's stats. In fact, we had to turn up for this game and win it. Kieran Foran's 300th. Our season's literally on the line. We're going up against a team in the Dragons that also a team on the line, but we know that we can beat them. We know that they are a beatable team. And unfortunately, after we scored that first try, we were pathetic. We were pathetic. And we made dumb decisions. There were multiple dumb decisions in this game. And it's like, it's really amazing to be a part of this community. But, you know, sometimes we do have to call out some stupid stuff that needs to be rid out of the game that you don't actually see from many other, well, you don't see from the good teams, right? Is that I love VK. He's very rocks and diamonds, though. Very, very rocks and diamonds. When he is diamonds, he is one of the best centers in the game. But when he is rocks, unfortunately, it just doesn't work out. And we saw in this game, the biggest game changer was when he shoved Jaden Stewart. Now, whether or not, and I saw comments saying that he's just defending our team, he's backing our boy from a dog tackle and whatnot. At the end of the day, I don't care. We don't actually care in that situation because it wasn't going to evolve and eventuate into anything bigger, right? So us pushing Seward there with the ball on the attack is keeping the ball out of their hands. With the wind going that way first half, I'm telling you, we need the ball in our hands to give away that penalty. And then guess what? We also got a try conceded on that very next set. So off that penalty, it really does hurt this team. You know, then you go to, unfortunately, Phil Sami in the second half as well, when Keanu made that brilliant break down into the corner, got tackled. It was fifth tackle. You pass it as far left as you possibly can, as quick as you possibly can. You know, it's fifth tackle. You've got to get it out and get it out and get it out. You switch it to the other side. But unfortunately, Phil decided to go straight, run it himself and got tackled on fifth. And it's like these little things need to be removed. And again, we love BK, we love Phil Sami, but in the same sense, we do need to critique this because we want to be a better team. We're not saying to drop BK, we're not saying to drop Phil Sami. I definitely am not saying that at all. I definitely am not saying in regards to these guys. But I'm just saying that they're out of form right now in regards to the decision-making that unfortunately costs us in those areas. But it's not just them. It's everyone on the team. There is a bug through the team right now in regards to just silly mistakes overall. It's not like the beginning of the season when you saw it was individual moments. At the beginning of the season, there was individual moments amongst a actual quite good defense for the most part. And this is inclusive of the Bulldogs game. This is inclusive of the Dragons game. This is inclusive of the Dolphins game with the first three games we lost. There were individual lapses that really cost us whilst the rest of the game was pretty good. Then you can comparatively, you go to these last two games and everyone is just completely off pretty much for the entire game, right? And, you know, even Keanu still has things to work on. Like he's been absolutely unbelievable. He's been our best player these last couple of weeks. Might even win our frontline's finest, to be completely honest with you, and just charge home like a train. Even he's got stuff to work on. So, and, you know, that goes for Foz too. It goes for literal JC. Literally everybody in this team is a part of the reason why these last couple of weeks we've fallen away. Now, what you just said there in regards to the grand final, whatnot, again, we're allowed to think that. They're not meant to be thinking that. But I feel like they're on a similar wavelength to me at the moment. And I don't want that, where they're thinking, I just want this season to end at this point. I want to go on holiday. Because for me, I am thinking like that. I don't know how everybody else is thinking. I love my footy, love my rugby league. But it's got to that point now in the season where we can't make it. But again, I'm a fan. These guys are players. They're still being paid professionally to win these games and to go out there and perform. And I love every single one of them. I'll still be there for all last these three games, but they need to put in a bigger shift last three games. They need to put in a bigger shift. And that is, you know, that is my deepest concern is that we could, if we keep putting up this kind of shift in these last three games, it's not going to be a pretty end of the year.
It's a tough one to break down, isn't it? Because no matter what we say, ultimately, people don't want to hear excuses because our followers in the front line know that what we've shown against the Dragons, we're a better side than that. And naturally, everyone's trying to come to terms with that and to what happens. So I like that you circled out what you did. For me, I'm going to circle out the scheduling, man. For the last two seasons in a row now, And again, I don't want to offer this as an excuse. Just like you said with the weather, it was a factor, not an excuse. We just had like really bad scheduling. When we get our buys too early in the year. Like, and of course, the Broncos, who are, you know, the Broncos are 70% owned by News Corporation, who owns 50% of the NRL. They get all their buys, you know, during the Origin period, and they got one last round. Like, it just seems unfair with our buys, but I don't want to use that as an excuse, because by our standard as Titans and by any standard of rugby league, really, we have been poor this last fortnight, needless to say. Now, we did complete well in this one. We completed 86%, which is impressive given the weather conditions and the wind there. But despite controlling the football really well, you still have to threaten. You still have to create opportunities. And we just failed to do that. We really didn't look dangerous at all. Even when we brought it back to, I think the score was like 16-26 in the final 8 minutes or whatever, I never had that confidence, like, here we come. You know, I had that optimistic belief, but we just didn't look dangerous. And I think you go back and look at our team tries in this game. One was a freak solo setup by Keanu Kinney with our first touch of the game, which is a rugby league rarity. Like, you never see someone score off the first touch in the game. That's a strange
one. I'm sorry to interrupt you here. But in regards to that, I also want to say well done to JoJo for following him up, because when he broke away into that corner, not a single player followed him up to the point where if he just passed it, we would have scored and the game would have been right back on. But that try there, at least JoJo followed him up, which was good. So a big shout to JoJo following up Keanu in that situation.
You're right, because Keanu made the break later in the game, I believe, and no one was with him. So that's a great call there. Our second try, it was like the Dragon stopped because it looked like Jaden Campbell knocked on. We certainly thought he'd knocked on in the crowd, but it touched his foot. So a bit of a lucky try there. And then, of course, we did earn our last try quite well through JoJo with a nice pass there, I believe, from Kieran Foran. So I bring up those three tries, right, because, you know, we've shown it our best. And let's go to the Broncos' second half, for example, 36-0, 66-0 to 6 against the Warriors. We can usually score points, but we've gone into our shell for whatever reason and playing a little bit too conservative. Maybe it's the fatigue factor that I brought up, or maybe it's our spine not gelling. And I think we really have to use these last three games to figure it out, man, because we do not want to hit 2025 with even more question marks around our spine when there's already so many question marks. So we start with Sam Verrills. He has been so good defensively these past few games, but he's really lost his edge in attack. I always viewed him as more of an attack-minded hooker, particularly when he was at the Roosters. Jaden Campbell, he hasn't been the same threat at 5'8" that he was in the Warriors game, and he's also not connecting with Kieran Foran. Now, at the game here, you could actually see Kieran Foran during sets running to the whole right side, then running back to the left, and directing that play on both sides of the ball. And JC, it's fine if Kieran's going to play both sides and direct traffic on both sides, but you need to pick your edge and be dangerous on that edge. We see Jerome Luai do it on the left edge. We see Dylan Brown do it, for example. I never felt like Jaden was dangerous on that left edge. He was just kind of in our line as another passing option to get the ball wider, which inevitably the Dragons just slid with it. It was not effective. And Kieran Foran was doing far too much. Can't question his effort. And then, of course, Keanu Kinney, individually brilliant, has been our best player for a number of weeks now, but not connecting with the spine as well as we probably need him to, it could be said. The period that I circle out in this game, mate, where I won't say we lost, but we could have won it, was the Jack DeBell and Sinbin. And I want to ask you, I'll put you on the spot, why do you think Dez didn't bring AJ Brimson off the bench for those 10 minutes in a roaming lock roll when we needed points, right?
Yeah, I remember, I think you said this actually, or somebody said this at the time at the game, and I absolutely agree. I do think that, you know, AJ was on the pine for 70 minutes in this game. I don't understand. At this, we go back to the same issue with JC under Holbrook, where Jaden Campbell was the 14. We had AJ as the one, and then obviously the 6 and 7 weren't in the equation at the time because we were playing with like Tanner Boyd and Kieran Foran and whatnot. So yeah, JC was the JC, or Toby Sexton might have been the in the halves as well then. But JC, I remember after the Canberra game, was feeling a bit lost in regards to the fact that Justin wasn't utilizing him besides very, very limited minutes at the back end. And I feel like this game was a very one-off for mine. I don't want to make a judgment on how Desi utilized AJ in this one game as a collective. I want to just use that as an individual game at this point. But yeah, it was very, very confusing that when they do have that player in the bin, absolutely we should have brought AJ on to bring up that pace, that creativity, and just get a bit of the spark going. So yeah, it was, it's a bit interesting. And I just want to also throw this out here before we do continue on, guys. This has been quite a critical podcast in regards to, you know, saying players' names and whatnot. But you've also got to remember, and this goes for all players' families, and this goes for all players, and it all goes for all fans. We say this all the time here on this podcast. It does not mean that we don't love them. It does not mean that we don't respect them for being the professional they are. It does not mean that we don't think that they can be absolutely better than that. Because the reason why we're critiquing it, actually, is because we genuinely know that they're better. And we genuinely know this team is going to be good next year. And we need to really kind of, you know, tell the truth in regards to the fact that the last couple of weeks hasn't exactly been great. We had a great run. It was fun. But now we're back to the nitty-gritty of needing to see this team really put in the same kind of effort to finish off this year. Because if we finish off this year with five straight losses, that's not going to be great going into 2025. We want to have a little bit of something, you know, a little bit of something. It doesn't need to be momentum, but just give us a little bit of something to bounce back from this nonsense, whether that be against the Roosters, the Knights, the Panthers. So sorry to interrupt you, but I just know that we do have players' families listening. We do have people listening. And this is with all the best intentions that we say this stuff. It is not to insult anybody on a significant level.
100% agree, man. And I'm actually glad you interrupted me and interjected with that, because it's a balancing act on a podcast, right? We need to talk about what happened, and at times that does require us to be critical. But as you touched on, and I completely agree, being critical of someone's professional performance in a single game of rugby league it's in no way reflective of how we feel about them as individuals and appreciate them being a part of our club. And yeah, it's a tough one, because even with what I'm saying here with AJ, like, who am I to question Des Hasler? Obviously, Des knew what he was doing. I'm a fan of football. I'm not a coach of football, right? But I just, from my own perspective as a fan, I don't think it was like our attack wasn't flowing so smoothly that it was a risk to bring AJ into the fold there and disrupt it. And I have a note here saying we looked as dangerous as a Jake Trbojevic post-match interview. If you guys have ever, he's such a nice guy post-game. Yeah, so that's how dangerous we looked. But we actually averaged more meters than the Dragons did per set in this game. And I think that sums up my point even further, that like we controlled the footy well, we got through our work, we just didn't threaten enough. In terms of danger, they had 9 offloads to our 3. And I just felt like, guys, let's try something. Let's play some footy. This conservative switch.
Those offloads would have all been the first half, by the way.
Yeah, 100%, man. And this, you know, this conservative switch that we've had against the Sharks and now this game here, it's been really noticeable. Whereas in the second half against the Broncos, it was kind of like we just believed in ourselves. We had belief. We took risks. It didn't always play out, but we were attacking and we blew them off the park. And I just would have liked to have seen that the past few weeks, but it seems like something switched in our side. Did Des rip a door off C-Bus that I'm not tracking? You tell me. I don't know. But when I break this one down, mate, we also – actually, I got one more point, which will shock people. We forced 3 ineffective tackles all game. You know, ineffective tackles are typically you're offloading or you're half-breaking a tackle and both their markers aren't getting square. So in an 80-minute game of football, only 3 times did we, you know, give ourselves – and maybe I was too critical for Sam Barrels, to be honest there, mate, because that's really only 3 chances to scoot. But I just felt to break this one all down with a final point, mate – it felt like a dragon run. It felt like a training run for the Dragons. I'm disappointed because I know we're better than that, and it was a big occasion for Kieran Foran's 300th. So fingers crossed we can get back home this week, mate, and work a little bit harder.
I just want to make a point on that as well in regards to Kieran Foran's 300. When the Roosters have a milestone, they win their game. Like, there's no doubt about it. You're confident they win. They will win that game. When the Storm have a milestone, they will win that game. When the Panthers have a milestone, more often than not, they'll win that game. They're still transitioning into that consistently long period. I know they've won 3 premierships in a row, but stick with me here. They're still kind of transitioning into that consistent team on that level at the moment, in my personal opinion. You've got to give that 4, 5, 6 kind of years before you start to really get into that long-term thought process with that. You know, but unfortunately, when we have a milestone, we always lose. We always lose. And, you know, this is our first ever with Foz at 300, you know, AJ's won against the Dragons in round 1 this year. We lost that game. We've had, you know, all these different guys over the years. I remember Mark Mucciello, you know, all these guys having their milestones. We we would always lose the game. So that's a real big issue because it just means that they're not able to get up for it as they need to be proud of the club, the culture, and the player themselves. And Foran is one of the hardest working players and one of the toughest boys and one of the nicest human beings in the history of the game. I'm telling you that right now. He is an amazing human being. So for them to not be able to, and this is as a whole as well, for us to not be able to get up for him is just another reoccurrence of why can't we ever get up for these milestone games like the Roosters and the Storm and that can.
Well, man, I'll tell you what, the last milestone game I remember us winning was actually not a milestone from our team. It was JT's last, sorry, we lost that. I was going to say, yeah, but even
well, JT's. I was there, we lost that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I was going to make a joke there, but of course we didn't win that either. So yeah, I don't know when our last big milestone win was, mate. I really don't know. I hope things turn. I hope we can close the chapter on what has been a tough 2 weeks for the club and get a win this week, whether it's in NRL or NRLW. And I just want to close out the NRL segment there with what I thought was a bit of a nice touch for Kieran Foran's 300th.
All the Manly boys.
No, something a bit more personal than that. So I'm just trying to compose myself to think what's the most respectful way I can say this. He had on his wrists, on both of his wrist tapes, Logan. And if you guys aren't aware, Logan is his son, his stepson, with his wife, Karina. And he passed away earlier this year. Unfortunately, he took his own life. But if you guys do know Logan's story, he loved surfing. And he used to always say to his mum and to Kieran and stuff, like, whenever you're sad, just look at the waves and think of me. And it was right next to Wynn Stadium, which is, like, you think Foz has had a few injuries this year. So it's, like, I just find it really touching that it worked out that, you know, on a special day where he had his son's name on his wrist tapes, that, you know, the ocean was so close. So, yeah, I just wanted to, yeah, say that, I suppose. Let's move on to our 3-2-1s, mate. We will kick it off with the women's first. I'll go my 3 points straight away. I'm going to go Shannon Marto, mate, 264 metres, four offloads and 22 tackles. I thought Shannon was just absolutely brilliant in this game and it didn't go our way, obviously, but I thought, yeah, Shannon had a huge effort there and individually was perfect, mate. So 3 points goes to Shannon for me, mate. Who's going to get your 3 points?
Yeah, I probably will be giving it to Shannon Marto as well. I thought that she was very dominant up through the middle. I thought that she was realistically, yeah, out of all the forwards. I know Jess Allison also, you know, ran for a good amount of metres, but Shannon Marto, despite the fact Jess ran for 149 metres, she went 264, so an extra 115 metres there, which is really, really impressive, with 105 of those being post-contact. And three tackle breaks and, you know, 22 tackles, which is the three missed. I thought Shannon Marto was absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, she can get my 3 points.
My 2 points is going to go to our skipper, Georgia Hale. 60 tackles for one miss. I believe she'd be averaging more than 50 tackles this season, which is just absolutely incredible. The fact that an NRLW's game is also 10 minutes less than a men's game, and she is averaging as many as I think Reid Marnie leads the NRL for 48 tackles roughly per game. So she would be above the highest men in the NRL and they play an extra 10 minutes. Incredible. 60 tackles for one miss and also 117 meters. So Georgia definitely was individually brilliant and gets my 2 points, mate. Who gets yours?
I'm switching my 3 points to Georgia Hale. I'm giving Shannon Marto my 2 points. I think Georgia Hale's going to get my 3 points because 60 tackles is insane. Like for the women's game, men's game, doesn't matter. Like that's an incredible amount of tackles. I remember watching multiple times throughout this game as well, actually, that Georgia would cover in positions that she shouldn't necessarily have to be in, but she would get across and cover, which was really, really impressive. And to only miss one tackle throughout the entirety of the game, make 60, is something of, you know, Cameron McInnes standards. And Georgia Hale is the Cameron McInnes in regards to the defensive structure here. So, yeah, I'm actually going to give Georgia Hale 3 points and then I'll go Shannon Marto for my 2 points.
I just checked there. She is indeed averaging more than 50 tackles per game so far this NRLW season.
And last year, the record was 51 by Samaa Taufua, whatever it was. So that means that she's averaging right now what was the highest individual game last year.
Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, the NRLW record that she broke last year, she is currently averaging more than that per game this year. That is Like that's unheard of. This is a stat line that, you know, think of anything Michael Jordan used to do. LeBron James has like the greatest sports athletes, man. She is doing it right now, and I think she'll continue to do it this year. My 1 point goes to Ivania Paliti, 259 meters, 6 tackle breaks, 2 offloads. I thought she was dangerous. It wasn't her best game, but she was around the ball and trying her best and getting through a ton of work as well. So Paliti is going to get my 1 point, mate. Who's going to get yours?
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck here between Ivania Paliti and Shaylee Bent, because I do think the Shells gave a really good effort in defense, obviously 19 tackles for no miss there. The only reason I'm probably actually going to end up giving it to Ivania is because you do still want to see probably more than 108 meters there. Like 108 meters is still solid, but I don't know. I just would like to see. Shells was one of our bright. I think I'll give her a shout out because she was one of our bright stars in this game. When she had the ball, she was looking dangerous at points for sure. But I do think you can't go past the 259 run meters for Paliti with 88 post contact, 6 massive tackle breaks there, 2 offloads, and 4 tackles for no miss. So I think the stats there probably win it out there for Paliti, and she did have a solid enough game with nothing too flashy, in my personal opinion. But yeah, I do want to say Shaylee Bent also deserves a bit of a recommendation.
And that's the thing for Paliti. She's just set the bar so high that even when she has fantastic stats like that, when we don't see a try and a try assist, we're like, oh, we know that, you know, she can do that. Cause it's kind of like that. I don't know. It's kind of like that dilemma of what Tom Trbojevic, in the NRL game, you know, if Tommy runs 200 meters, no one's going, oh, great game, Tom. But if a rookie or David Armstrong from the Knights runs 200 meters, everyone's like, oh, wow, what a great game. So she's just set the bar so high for herself, mate.
I also have another shout out here. And this is a big shout out. On debut, Matakino Gray didn't make a whole heap of runs, but she made 22 tackles for no missed. She did not miss a tackle in this game on debut. So that's a really big shout out to Matakino Gray, who, that's really solid stuff.
And she's my rookie of the year prediction. Yours was Lily Rose Colch. So Matakino has some work to make up, but good signs in her debut.
To be fair, though, and love Lily, but I did also say that because I wanted to kind of bring somebody different because you went with Matakino. So, like, I would have gone with Matakino, but Lily Rose Colch was someone I was going as a bit of a difference. And I still have enjoyed watching her play this year as well.
Yeah, she's been awesome. The rookie of the year race will actually be really tight between those two, I think, if Gray stays in the side. Let's kick it over the fence to the men's side of things, mate. I guess I think I can guess who your 3 points will be, but who gets your 3 points?
My 3 points is going to the man that should be named as an immortal this week on Wednesday. Actually, tonight for us, tomorrow, yesterday for you guys. But I'm giving it to Keanu Kinney. He's an absolute machine. I tagged him. He had a good laugh when I called him an immortal just before, actually. But yeah, look, you can't go past him, man. You simply can't go past Keanu Kinney. Look at his stats. 344 run meters. He had 2 line breaks. He had 65 post contact with 1 try assist, 4 tackle breaks. And also just like and I'm not calling anybody out here, but there's a real big knack of like Keanu Kinney can't defend right now, which I actually don't fully understand because he actually made 3 tackles, which is the 1 missed. So he's only missed the 1 tackle there. Now, I also want to point out that if the players are getting through, unless it's in the line, and that one is in the line because I think that was their first try of the game where Dave and him didn't come to terms with a good tackle. But outside of that, Keanu is like the only reason he's probably going to miss a tackle if they get through on a break is because somebody else has missed a tackle and others have missed a tackle. And then you've got a big front row, a big back row, a big huge bloke running directly for him. And yeah, look, sometimes he's not the greatest at that. But with that being said, not many fullbacks are the greatest at that. So I don't think his defense in this game is as bad as has been made out. But overall, absolutely incredible in regards to his attack.
I think it's because he brings something so special to our game, as does AJ Brimson. People are trying to like look for that separating factor between them, that they're almost making up, you know, things to suit their narrative there. But the fact is they're both brilliant players and both different in their own ways. No surprise, my 3 points is the same. 344 meters, Titans record again. He now has the first and second in our all-time run meters. Just incredible. My 2 points will go to JoJo Fifita. 200 plus meters, mate. 14 tackles for only 2 missed. 14 tackles is a lot for a winger. Usually you see wingers around that 5 mark. And of course, he also had the two tries there. So JoJo gets my 2 points, mate. Who's going to get yours?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to JoJo as well. He ran for a buck, a lot of meters, scored a couple of tries in this game. Without his two tries, even though one of them was a literal gimme from Keanu, and I guess the other one was a literal gimme from Kieran as well. But at the end of the day, without his two tries there, we finish this game with 32-6. We get absolutely flogged. 16 points is a lot better than literally, 20, whatever it is, 26, 28 points, right? So at least we scored a couple of tries with him. Impressed by what he's been doing this year. He, for me, and we'll obviously have an award show at the end of this season where we'll go through our best, most improved, all that type of stuff. I can tell you right now, he's a $1 favorite. He is a $1 favorite. He maybe Ez is close, but I would say JoJo is the $1 favorite to take out that award.
I agree with that, mate. My 1 point's going to go to Kieran Foran. He had the two forced dropouts. I just thought all game, as I said, you could see him sweeping left, sweeping right, all game, taking the ball to the line, getting hit after contact on one of those times, head contact from Jack DeBellin. And he also had 27 tackles, which is huge for a half as well. So Kieran Foran, it might as well have been his debut out there with the amount of energy he brought in his 300th. Absolutely fantastic. He gets my 1 point. Who gets your 1 point?
Yeah, I'm actually going to give it to Aaron Clark. I am. I'm going to give it to Ez. And the reason being, because I was really considering Kieran Foran there as well. I did think that he had a very, very solid game for his 300th, and I don't think that anyone could blame him for the loss by any means. But I think that Aaron Clark defensively, again, fantastic. 25 tackles for no miss. He's the only player in the entire team that did not miss a single tackle in this game. And for the conditions of that game, for the way the game was outset, the way the game actually played out, for him to not miss a tackle and to make 25, which means that he is actually still going out, because he only played 40 minutes. He only played this game 43 minutes. So if he plays the full 80, he's going over the 50 tackle mark there, right? But the point of the matter is that Enes is not going to play the full 80. Point of the matter is that that is a really impressive stat line. It means 25 tackles. He's going up and actually looking for the tackle. He's looking for the contact and defense. So yeah, I'm going to give Aaron Clark the 1 point there. And also, again, another big shout out will go to Sam Verrills defensively, because 45 tackles for just the three misses is really impressive. We're not going to talk about the attacking numbers. It's just not going to happen. But defensively, Sam Verrills was phenomenal in this game again.
And Sammy Verrills had 58 last round. So he's definitely putting his money where his mouth is defensively there.
Actually, you know Alrighty. What as well? You know what as well? I know we've been going on for a whole long time. We're at 58 minutes already. But for all the defensive issues that Cleese has had recently, 48 tackles for three miss. He was the highest tackle count on our team in this game. He only went down by four to the hooker of the Dragons, Jacob Little, who was just a tackle bot. So really big clap there for Cleese. Has, again, made a really poor tackle attempt at one of the tries for the Dragons, which was ridiculous. But outside of that, for the most part in this game, and that goes back to what I said about the beginning part of the season with the individual lapses, that was an individual lapse in actually a pretty good game for Cleese defensively. But you'll only notice that individual lapse there, which is what we saw in the Bulldogs, the Dragons, and the Dolphins as a team collective. So now you guys are understanding what I was kind of trying to say.
And I think Cleese had like 60-plus metres as well, so still running the footy there and getting his metres up, which is what we want to see from him now. Like, we know he's a strong defender. How many metres did he have?
He ran for 62 metres through seven runs. Like, I want to see more out of that. But with that being said, I know what you're saying.
It's a good starting point for Cleese. But, yeah, we want to see him build those running metres up now, because we know he can get those big defensive numbers, mate. Alrighty, let's park all of our NRL recaps in the past. We've got one more recap to get through. It's our affiliates recap. This is actually crazy. I can't believe that this is real. And shout out to you for pointing this out to me. The Ipswich Jets defeat the Burley Bears 32 points to 20. Poetic justice, some are calling it, for ditching us for the Broncos Bears. Get that up your eye, say, mate.
Hey, that's good, mate.
How did our Jets players go in this one, my friend?
Yeah, no, really good. Kemo Marlowe, one try, 129 metres. He had a tackle break, and unfortunately, it's just the two errors. Ryan Foran with 114 metres and 28 tackles for just two miss, which is really, really good. And Arama Howe, full 80, 110 metres, four tackle breaks, two offloads, 19 tackles. But the only thing with Arama throughout this season has been his missed tackles with those four miss. So that's the only thing that we need to see Arama fix up in his game. If he does that, then he's red hot. He'll be red hot. But Arama just needs to fix those missed tackles.
I agree, man. And when you told me the Jets beat the Burley Bears, I think my first comment was, I bet Joe Stimpson had a huge game. I would have thought Jalen DeGroote had a huge game. These are guys that didn't even play. The fact that our only three
Simo
Titans...
was with us, wasn't it? Simo came down to the goal.
Yeah. But I didn't know that at the time. I thought he was playing in this game. So, you know, the fact that we beat the Burley Bears, who I believe are they're in the top four, right? Only had three Titans players, one being Kenamalu, who hasn't played for us in the NRL, I don't believe, and then two players that are, just past the development stage for us and haven't debuted either. It's really, really good signs.
It was actually quite funny because I didn't point it out to you. It was somebody else who pointed it out to us, and we both looked at each other at the exact same time. We're like, what? Yeah. In regards to the Jets beating the Bears. It was we both looked and were just like, there's no way. But it was true, so...
It's crazy, mate. So no news for Tweed this round, guys. They had a bye. So with that, the Queensland Cup ladder looks like this. The Jets remain in 15th, but they are four wins clear of the bottom. So absolutely no way they can get the wooden spoon with only one game left. And Tweed remain in 12th place, but with one game left, unfortunately, they are two wins outside of the eight. So their season will be over this round as well. We will move on to our NRLW preview now, mate. And we are versing the Roosters, 12 p.m. at Cbus Super Stadium. The history between these sides, we've played four times. They've won two. We've won two. When we go to our last two encounters, we beat them in Sydney in the finals, 12-0. But they beat us on the Gold Coast earlier that year, 30-8. They are coming off three wins in a row. We are coming off two losses in a row, mate. I'll be honest, I do have concerns for this game. I think if I had to absolutely give you a tip, I probably would be leaning towards the Roosters. But I'm going to hold the faith. I'm going to say our girls can get it done because a big part of my belief there is the fact we need to get this done. We can't afford to lose three in a row, mate. So break it down for us. How do you see this one playing out when you look at it?
We must win and need to win. Otherwise, the season will start to get away from us. I will say in regards to the Roosters, they did lose to the Knights in the first round, then bounced back against the Broncos before, which sucks because obviously the week after the Broncos absolutely touched us up. But then the Roosters then beat the Tigers 20-4 and the Dragons 20-8. So I can tell you right now, the last two games don't really mean anything for mine. I am actually really confident in this game. And I don't know where I'm getting this confidence because based off of the last few rounds, there's no way that I should have this kind of confidence. Is it Cbus Super Stadium? Yeah, we do have a very strong lineup in there. Niall Williams-Guthrie comes back into the centres. Talia Fuimono, need to see so much more from her in the 5'8", but she is back into the 5'8". We know that she's an Origin representative in that position. We can start to see Georgia Hale is really starting to motor along in this season in regards to leading from the front. Shannon Marto is starting to pick it up. Jessica Ellison did her job as well. Do need to see more out of our back row in Riley Jorgensen, that's for sure. But I'm glad to see that Marikina Gray is still in the interchange. Sienna Lafippo comes in as 18th, so she's back and ready to play. But we'll just see if Karen does decide to go with her this week or next week. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what she comes in for, who she comes in for, because Danny Parisi and Laika Clark have been quite solid for us this season on the bench. So it would come down to either Lily Rose Cole or Marikina Gray. Or maybe, you know, we need to see more out of Riley Jorgensen, man. We really, really do. She is such a tough player, but just hasn't been getting that form this year. I think that matchup-wise, we do actually match up quite well with them. They do have quite a few injuries. They've got a great halves pairing of Taron Aiken and Jocelyn Kelleher. We have a great halves pairing of Lauren Brown to Talia Fuimono, even though Loz hasn't been at form recently as well in the last two games. Centers battle is absolutely amazing of Chapman versus Strange and Williams Guthrie versus Isabel Kelly. The wingers of Georgia Gray and Emily Bass versus Jamie Fresser and Mia Wood, I give that to us, actually. Ivania Politi versus Samantha Bremner, I give that to Ivania Politi. Front row forwards of Ellison and Marta versus Elliot and Hill Moana. Elliot's great, but I'm telling you, our front row forwards win that. Keely Davis versus Bradley Nardi, I think that's a wash. They're both very, very similar in regards to quality. At the moment, on form, I am giving Amber Hall and Olivia Koenig the back row battle over Shales and Riley Jorgensen. And in the third day, don't even talk to me, Tiana Davidson, because Georgia Hale is clearly the number one lock in the entire competition for mine. Big shout out to Vanna Papali'i, who is the granddaughter of Rhonda, who is part of the front line, and she plays the Roosters in the 14. But unfortunately, we cannot support her in this game because we can support her individually, but not as a team because we need this win badly. But I do think overall, our bench of Laika Clark, Danny Parisi, Matakino Gray, and Lig Rose Colt does for the collective beat out that interchange there of Pani Hapawade, Samantha Economos, and Otessa Pule. So, yeah, look, I do believe that we bounce back to form here, because if we don't, that means, let me just quickly go have a look at the ladder here. If we don't, the Roosters will go to 8 points. That leaves us down there in 4 points, and our points differential is already minus 17. Thanks, Broncos. So we need to get a move on now. We need to fix that points differential, and we need to start capitalizing, because we have got a tough run to come. If we lose this game, our confidence is shot. We need to win this game, because then we have teams like the Sharks, teams like the Eels, teams like the Knights. And although they don't really believe in the Eels too much, they are doing better this year. So, yes.
To break down where the Roosters are at the moment is actually difficult, I think, because they lost in round one to the Knights only just. Then they versed a Broncos side who was, let's be real, it was not the same Broncos side that we faced. The Broncos in the first two rounds to the Broncos the last two rounds, they are worlds apart. Then they beat the West Tigers, who we know are struggling this year and yet to record a win. And then I go to last round. I thought they were actually really awesome. We watched this game live because it was the precursor to the Titans v. Dragons. And, you know, the Dragons, they got a win over the Sharks. A win over the Knights, I believe, the week before, right? So they were in good enough form. And then the Roosters just took care of them. Like, the Dragons didn't really look that threatening in that game. They won by 20 points, 28-8. So, yes, they do have one more win than us this season, but you do have to really look at the Broncos and the West Tigers win and wonder how much can you take from that, I suppose. Where I think we actually win this game, and I'm going to say the complete opposite thing about what I said about our men's team. For our men's team, I said they need to throw the ball around now and try more things. I think for the women, it's the opposite. We just need to go back to basics, man. Defend really well and complete sets. And if we do that, like we've shown last year, we will beat almost every single team in this competition, right? But when you go to the stats this year, we are completing at 78%. They're only completing at 71%. So we've got an edge there. Our tackle efficiency rating is higher than theirs, but we're unconcerned. They're only averaging 9 points per game conceded. So that is something that we would need to look at, because we're conceding an average of 19. So that's why I say, Blaze, if we can just go back to the simple things here, right, man? Get our sets completed, complete above 80% like we know we can, and apply pressure rather than searching for that, you know, miracle try or searching for that try to build the pressure. I just think if we do the simple things here, we actually can pressure the Roosters and beat them. But if the same Titans side that shows up from last week shows up again, we will lose this game. We cannot afford to have 10 errors against the Roosters. We just can't afford that. They will put us to the sword.
Roosters, we are at home. Six out of those 10 times we make 10 errors.
Indeed they will, mate. And we are at home, which I want to remind people of our incredible home record. We have only ever lost to two sides at home. That is the Knights and the Roosters. So we have a 71% all-time win record at this stadium. I would love if we could right one of those wrongs and get a win here over the Roosters who beat us last year.
I'll tell you, the girls are obsessed with the drums. Every single time that the girls see me, they're like, where's your drums? And it's like, I only have them at home games. I've always only ever had them at home games, but they really do love the drums, man. So maybe that is a big part of why they do play so well at Seabus, because they do feel like they've got an attendance. They do feel like they've got people there who are supporting them publicly and loudly and whatnot, and that's what we do. So it's not like a toot my own horn kind of deal. That's just me saying the girls, every single time I speak to them, they're always like, well, I can't wait to play at home because of the drums. And it's like, okay, well, you know, don't worry, I'll be loud on Sunday, because it'll be the last time I can't be loud. Actually, no, we've got a couple of home games. We've got one more, I think, two more women's home games, actually, before the end of the season.
Yep. I mean, if you can ever take a small amount of credit and it still be humble, I think that you definitely are entitled to that for the energy you're creating there in the front line. And it is awesome to see that, like, you know, it looks like it's rubbing off. Like, we do get the results at home. Final tip for me, mate. I'll say we've been 1-12. I don't think it'll come easy, but I think if we can get the basics right and pressure the Roosters through a high completion rate and solid defense, then I think we can win this game. So I'll go 1-12, mate. What's your final prediction?
Yeah, I have to go 1-12. If we can go and win this game 13+, that's phenomenal. That's fantastic. I love that. Choo choo, chugga chugga, big red car. We're firing up, but I don't think that's going to happen, because the Roosters also, the ladder is still so close. Still on round four. To make it understandable, people, round four in the NRLW is probably like, I would say, round 12, round 13 in the NRL, where You've gotten past that early. We're into round five now, actually. So I would say that this is actually probably round 15, 16, where it's the halfway point, going past the halfway point of the season. Because again, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, we've only got 5 games after this. So we are literally at the real kind of crunch area of the season. I know it feels like it's only just started and whatnot. Because it's such a short season, there is a necessity to win now. There is a necessity to win now. So yeah, I'll go 1-12. I'll go by 2 points.
Let's do it. Fire it up, Titans. We will both be there. It'll be a great atmosphere. We're going to defend our home turf, and we're going to set it up for this game here, which will be Kieran Foran's at-home celebration of his 300th NRL game. We are against the Roosters, 2 p.m., also at Cbus Super Stadium, and we're also going to welcome back Moeki Fotuaika and Bo Fermor for the Roosters. Big Bowie. Roosters do welcome back Jared Warrior Hargraves, but he's a cat. Nat Butcher comes back. He's a cat. And Sam Smith, he is a cat. Mate, I want to point out two things before we actually get into the breakdown on this. Can you remember the last time we were at home and you and I genuinely thought, oh, damn it, we are no chance here? I remember the exact game.
Cowboys.
Exactly right, mate, and we won it, right? So,
are you talking about Cowboys this year or are you talking about Cowboys last year?
Last year, they were on like a 6-game win streak or something, and I thought, I just can't see us winning, and we found a way, right? Now I want to go to our team list, and I want you to circle out one player for me, for one reason or another, who needs to have a huge game in this one. Who do you think that might be and why?
Okay. Ooh,
okay, it's not jumping out at you right away.
No, let me just say then, are you talking about like Sammy Verrills? No, okay, let me think about it again.
Close, but not quite.
Are you saying I can't believe you?
Warmer again. Like, you're on the right path of players.
Oh, gee, like, you've gone two... I've said two Roosters players there. Gee whiz, I'm still scrolling. It's not jumping out of me, just tell me.
So he was almost a Rooster.
Oh, Dave.
Kill him, Dave! Kill him! Come on! Sorry for everyone's ears. Dave! Dave, he hasn't been his best the last few games. Dave, you cannot lose this battle.
Can you imagine how funny it would be if he did come in and just slap him up? So not only is it salt in the wound that he backflipped on them, but then he goes and says, you know what, I haven't been great, but I'm going to play great against you and scores like 3 tries and dominates the game.
We need Dave Fifita. What was the year he broke out try scoring? Was it 2021 or 2022?
2021, I think.
We need that Dave back. 2022. We need that Dave back. Dave. Shay Lee, give him a massage the night before. Get him revved up.
Okay, let's slow down. I'll go PG rated podcast here. We're not going into the MA section, all right?
I need him revved up. I need a big game from Dave, mate. And I'll tell you why.
Oh no.
Because the Roosters have averaged 37 points in their past 3 games. Their attack is absolutely flying. And we are conceding an average of 26 points per game this year. We are up there with one of the worst in the competition for points conceded. Then you go to the fact that realistically, since the Broncos' second half, we have looked really flat. And it was just as you feared. It was our grand final. We were emotionally up for it. And since that point, we haven't been able to get back to that standard. Everything that was awesome against that Broncos game has disappeared in the last 2 weeks. And most concerning of all is, I can't tell you whether that's attack-wise or defense-wise because we concede 0 to the Broncos in the second half. The next 40 minutes we play, we concede 30 in the first half to the Sharks. And then we score 36 points in the second half against the Broncos. But across the whole next 2 games, 160 minutes of footy, we only score 16 points. And 2 of those were kind of like weird tries. One was the Jaden Campbell one we referenced and the other was the Kinney. So the Roosters, they're solid in attack. They're probably not as solid defensively as they do need to be, right? And that's probably where we might need to play a little bit risky here, man. Like, I'm just going to go down and scroll. So they are conceding 19 points per game on average this year, and we're scoring 20. So let's say there's 20 points there for us, conservatively. We need that number at like 32, I believe, to beat the Roosters. So we got to take some risks in this game. We need Jaden Campbell to take those same calculated risks he took against the Warriors and in that Broncos second half. And we need the rest of our spine to step up so that it's not Kieran Foran trying to create everything on his own. But in reality, mate, the stats here do not favor us at all. We have not beaten the Roosters at CBUS for over 8 years. The Roosters have won their last 10 games in a row over us. So I'm going to hand it over to you.
Say something?
I just really wanted that to sink in for dramatic effect, mate.
Thanks.
Can you honestly tip us here, mate, or do you think we could be in some trouble?
I do what I want. You know what I'm saying? I do what I want. You tell me not to tip us. I wasn't going to tip us, but because now you've like insinuated, you've assumed, you've thrown this like this ridiculous notion out, I'm tipping us. I'm tipping us, and there's nothing that you, there's nothing that no Chook Pen, there's nothing nobody can stop
Since
me.
Since 2007, the Roosters have only lost twice at CBUS Super Stadium.
I don't care if they've only lost no times at CBUS Super Stadium, because guess what? Records are made to be broken, son. And we're going to slap them. We're going to fire up. I don't care the last 2 weeks have happened. We're going to come out there. David's going to score three tries. Three tries in this game. Lockdown Cabrera, he may score 10. He may score 10. He might hit 30 tries of the season this week. You know what I'm saying? Fire up your cat. You know, get behind this team and tip him in. I'm tipping him by a grand total of 1 point.
Look, I just broke down all the reasons we shouldn't win, and the stats are heavily against us. But you know what, man? I'm going to hold the faith. Dude, I held the faith the last two games. Another third? Like, realistically, if I had to wager my own money, I would take the Roosters again. But I don't care. I'm going to fully believe in our Titans team here to spring an upset, just like they did last year against the Cowboys, who were on a six-game winning streak and no one expected us to. Roosters come in on a three-game win streak. No one expects us to. They've only ever lost twice at our home stadium since 2007. Line in the sand moment. Dave Fifita to have a huge game. Jared Rhea Hargraves to get sin binned. Victor
Sam
Radley.
Walker to miss because the drummer just gets into his face.
Love it. Victor Radley to get sent off because he takes it personal in his battle with. Oh, I'm not sure. So Angus Crichton plays left side and Dave's playing left side as well at the moment. So he will be up against Victor Radley. Victor Radley to take it personal against Dave and get. And you know, pull an illegal high shot. Dave will be completely fine. Radley will be sent off. Titans win here by two. Titans win by two.
Well, you've gone over me. So I did this. I rattled everyone. I started having a crack at their active area. I had a crack at the Roosters. I have a crack at everyone. And then you tip a higher score than me. How dare you?
Yep. I'm going Titans by three now because you said that. Mate, I'll tell you what.
I'm taking 13 plus. Take that. Take that, mate. You can't go higher than 13 plus because that's infinity. No, that's infinity, mate. 13 plus is above 13.
Fair enough. You got me there. No, look, I'm not as confident as I wish I was, but I can see a world where
no
we
one's
win.
Confident going into this game, mate. But you've got to laugh through the pain. Otherwise, it's pain. If you don't laugh through the pain, it's pain. A lot of pain.
I don't know, man. I believe in Dez. I feel like there could be a little bit of an upset. I don't want to put that, you know, too far out there into the universe, but I'm rocking up with the. Oh, I tell you what, he'd actually be a gun halves combo with Kieran Foran at the moment, mate. Yeah, but look, so to our listeners, it sounds like we are both not as confident as we wish we could be, but we're both holding the belief. Is that a fair assumption? He's too confident.
I'm with not that, confident we will... in nothing, but again, laugh through the pain.
Mate, if we win by 13 plus, just keep that part and skip the next part so no one has to know the truth. Alrighty, guys, time to phone the front line. If you want to get involved in this segment, you can do so via the link in the podcast player or on YouTube. Tap on your phone, tap the website, record your message, add your name or tick anonymous, press send. It's that easy. Like, seriously, why haven't you done it right now?
We'll probably only be able to do like one or maybe two because we've been gone for an hour and 20. So as long as we get under an hour and a half, we're good to Gucci.
Corey Gregory's up first.
Hey, boys. So, yes, Clarkie, I am from Townsville. Before you say anything, Yep, you've heard my name before. I am an AG supporter. secondly, regardless of the results, even though we're not making finals, etc., you've got to be proud of the boys. They've done everything they could. Like, they've broken multiple records for the club. They've broken, you know, like the highest points scored for the club against the Warriors, highest points scored against the Broncos, like the margin, all of that. Keanu Kinney's record-breaking run meters twice this year already. JC, most amount of points. You know, you look at it, they've had a pretty damn good year in that sort of sense. Like, yeah, there's a lot of improvements going on, but in previous years, that's pretty awesome. Anyway, boys, cheers, eh? Look at the bright side. We'll catch you this weekend at the game. I'll be there in the front line with you. You up the Titans.
No. Mate, just to clarify there, Corey. No. You won't be in the front line with us. You'll be in the front line with me, Corey, because I'm not... Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, you leave the screen. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. You leave the screen. The Dane's sitting up there in the top sport lounge. Yeah, the corporates. The corporate, man. The corporate.
Corey, appreciate your passion, mate. And, you know, I actually hadn't looked at the season that way until you said as much. But you are right, mate. Like, yes, we're not going to play finals, but it's our first season under a new coach. We probably expected more. We lost our captain and best player early in the year. It is what it is, mate. I think that if we're looking for things to take out of the season, you've nailed it, mate. There's some really good examples in that. And what we'll actually do is a breakdown of the season. So we'll go through all the big moments and a later podcast in the postseason, mate.
I think if you're looking at individual records, like, yeah, this has been an incredible year. At the end of the day, though, man, we're still on track to finish bottom four, you know, like, and whilst there is positives to take out of the year, like, we're still on track to finish bottom four because we've got three games, two of which are against top four opposition, one of which is at the hardest place to play in Penrith, pretty much, and the other one is against a team in Newcastle who aren't good but always flog us when we go to McDonald's Grand Stadium. So I hate to be the Dim and Gloom guy because, like, again, I'll beat all three games. I'll be there. I'm always there. But, like, at one point, you just want to sit back and go, oh, well, we're actually in the final. Like, you want to actually have a good time for once. You want to actually have a good time in regards to the results. It's all well and good to have a good time as a community. It's all well and good myself and him have a laugh and to have great fun with you guys in the community elsewhere. But at the end of the day, we also want to see this team win. We also want to see this team get into the finals. So, yeah, like, yes, in parts, Corey is right. And yes, yes, he's right in those individual accolades, but also I just want to see us start to really improve as a collective. And I tell you what, that'll come in that first five rounds of next year.
I agree with you there as well. Like, you know, if we play top eight, no one really cares about those other things because it's like, yes, we're playing finals. Because we're not top eight, we're kind of looking for other things. So Corey's obviously a super positive, awesome guy, and we know what sort of guy you are. So next – that was a joke.
Wow.
Our next
– wow. Wow. I imagine – listen here, you flew to Vegas after the Dogs game and a 32-0 loss and let me sit here by myself for over an hour. You –
I know that's getting edited out. And if it doesn't get edited out, all I will say is from the Vegas experience, we lost our captain for the year. I needed to get away, man. I needed to get my head straight. Next one is anonymous and it goes for 8 seconds and hopefully the person has a cleaner mouth than Blaze.
Assuming Carter Gordon gets starting in the NRL next year, where is Des Hasler going to place him?
Look, mate, again, it's a whole preseason to play out. If we're saying, like, now, based on now form, I'd probably want to see Brimson trialed at six alongside Foran. I just don't think JC's been as effective as he was earlier, so I'd like to trial that, which would probably mean Carter Gordon comes into the centres, plays the centre role similar to Matty Burton did at the Panthers, where, we know he's more of a half, but he's better in your side than not in your side. And then I think that moves Jaden back to the 14, where he's kind of our Mr. Fix-It if there's any injuries, and also a bit of an energizer bunny if we do have any sin bins in the opposition or we start to find, you know, a few tries or we need tries, then I think you bring Jaden on. That's where my head's currently at, mate. How do you view it?
Yeah, we'll do a lot more of a deeper dive into this post the season and whatnot, and especially the preseason next year, obviously, once we get back. But look, at the moment, like I could see a world where he actually chucks Carter Gordon to the six, and AJ will potentially still go to centers. I understand that the AJ thing didn't necessarily work out, but these centers, they do need to start getting a little bit, going in regards to consistency. That's with BK and Sammy and whatnot. Otherwise, you could chuck Carter Gordon in there, but I do think that he would. I think Carter Gordon is more known for his hands-on footy than like an AJ in regards to the halves, because obviously he played a half playmaker role in the Wallabies and for rugby union at the Rebels and whatnot. So I do think that Desi might lean more towards him. Forum will obviously play, but you know, then you might see like a JC or even a Carter Gordon go to the seven next year. There's so much to play out, man. So I think we hold this here and we talk about it later towards after the season finishes and whatnot, when we start going through deeper dives into the year and then on looking towards next year.
This next one is from James RH. I don't think we've seen James' name before. So let's listen to James.
James Rands, I think we have.
Good day, lads. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work, even on the trying times. Just wondering, obviously looking forward to all the contracts now that sort of will expire at the end of 2026. In your opinion, who do you reckon we've got to, obviously there's a lot of lads we should resign, but who do you, in your opinion, do you reckon we need to prioritise going forward to lock up long term as building blocks for this club past that sort of 2026 time? Keep up the works, lads. Love it all.
Thank you very much, mate. I'm just scrolling through the NRL website now to get to our team, so I can. Yeah, well, that's the one that obviously jumps out at the start there.
I've had a look at the NRL website, and I can see our players off contracted in the 2026 are Blaze. I'll rattle every player off that's off contract at the end of 2026, and you give me a re-sign or a no. Lofiana Khan Pereira.
Yes.
Bo Fermor.
Absolutely.
Brian Kelly.
Up in the air right now.
Agree. Carter Gordon.
Don't know yet.
Chrissy Randall.
Absolutely.
David Forfita.
Depends on what direction we take as a club, because like he could go to a Roosters or a Panthers at that point. Maybe not Roosters; they're done with him, I would say. But it depends. Like obviously, loyalty wise, we'd love him to stay, and he absolutely can be the best backer on the competition, and is on a frequent, consistent basis. But it depends if we want to utilize that cap space somewhere else. And you know, guys like Cleese and Bowie Firma have taken a role well there, or we can get somebody else kind of deal that it suits the Desi Hasler experience better, if you know what I'm saying. So, look, I don't know the answer to that one, but if you're going based off of pure talent alone, then yes.
Yeah, I think pure talent alone, yes, but you also need to manage your salary cap. And if we have two capable back rowers, then it wouldn't make sense to keep Dave on around a million there, as much as I'd love to see him stay. Next player is Jamin Jolliffe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jaden Campbell.
That's a tough one. Like that is a tough one. I need to see him working into the structure of this team where I think Keanu is our one right now. And then it's between AJ and JC. And it's like AJ signed till 2030. JC, this is a tough topic to talk about because obviously JC, we love him. We want him to be at this club. We want the history of Preston Campbell and all that sort of stuff. With that being said, does that fit Desi's structure? Does having JC, AJ and Keanu on the same books fit his structure? Keanu, for me, is locked in the fullback. AJ is locked into 2030 already. So does JC become that odd man out? So I don't know.
Yeah, that's my only concern. Like if JC wasn't the odd man out, or if we didn't have three elite fullbacks on our books, I wouldn't hesitate.
On pure talent alone, I'd be saying absolutely, yeah, 100%. Yeah. If we didn't have Keanu, then that's absolutely a guarantee. But we do have Keanu, we do have AJ, and it has been going on for years now. And I think we're at that point where we need to find an odd man out, because all three of them don't necessarily work in the same team. And unfortunately, JC right this very second looks like that, from that perspective right now, going in a few years' time. But I hate saying that. I do hate saying that.
Exactly. And there's still a lot to play out until 2026. Keanu Kenny's the other man. I think you made your answer clear there. Guaranteed. Philip Sami?
I would say so. I would say so, yeah. I think that on his day, he can be the most damaging center in the game. Has got consistency issues and whatnot, and people are always arguing whether he's a center or a winger, but I would say so, yeah.
And final one, Sammy Verrills.
That's a difficult one. That's a difficult one. Like, defensively fantastic, but him and Chris Randle are very, 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 very similar players where they're just defensive workhorses, but you don't see a great deal of attack out of either of them. So it's like, who do you see as the better defender? And it's like, I don't know if there is a better defender. You'd probably see Chrissy Randle make more tackles, but Sam Verrill's been doing a bunch of tackles this last few rounds, weeks and whatnot. So I did say yes to Chrissy Randle before. I don't know. That's a really, really tough one, man. I think we need to, I think, you know, the start of next season needs to happen as well. It's really, this is really, really difficult to do at this point right now, but oh, because we still got a whole year in between. On pure talent and what we know Sam Verrills can do, I say yes. But in regards to again, how Desi wants to play it, I don't know at the moment.
And I would also say I'm on the fence. We only saw AJ play 10 minutes of hooker last round, but that could be a move by Des moving forward as well. Mal Meninga, who's an immortal and was very committed during his time at the Titans, he once said that he thinks that AJ's best position is hooker. So, you know, that's an immortal of our game seeing something. So maybe AJ's a hooker by that stage and we don't have three elite fullbacks. We've only got two.
There'd be any shortcomings of teams to pick up a guy like Sam Verrills or a guy like Chris Randle or all these. I think that you'd find a vast amount of teams that would still sign that contract and hopefully that would fit into their plans. Again, would love Sam to stay around, but I just don't know at this point if it is necessary. Like, if you go back before these last 2 weeks, I would say yes. And maybe this is a very, like, this is a really difficult as fans having this kind of, like, need to give your answer right now because after two bad losses, you do really kind of think directly towards those two losses. Over the course of the year, though, the only issue that we've always said is the attack and then the positive is the defense. And then there is that similarity with Chris Randle, who his attack is not that great, and then the defense is great. So I don't know. This is, again, this will have to be a conversation deeper in towards the back end, like after the season finishes.
Definitely agree, mate. We are definitely short on time for this episode, so we won't fluff around. Thank you, everyone, who sent in a phone the front line. And, of course, we'll be back next week if you want to send yours in. At this point, we will close the show, but we want to remind everyone, the big fella, Foz 301 at CBUS this Sunday, doubleheader, be there or be square. It's really that simple.
I don't want to be square.
No one wants to be square. Look at me.
Joe Squarehead, yeah.
Be there. It's as simple as that, guys.
You're looking like the Joker in that movie where he puts the camera, I think it was The Dark Knight, and he just starts laughing hilariously, hysterically into the camera. You're looking creepy, mate.
You sing, I'll stare.
I sing.
Be there. You sing, I'll stare at the fans.
Oh, zing. Oh, true. Okay, I'll see you guys there. Get the drums out. Get loud. Get proud. Bing, boom, zing.